Hello, I'm Dan Aykroyd, and welcome to this fine motion picture emporium. It's nice to know you're here tonight, rather than at home shoving cheap little plastic cartridges into cheap imported video systems that keep you and your family hostage in your own home or apartment. Now let's face it, big screen entertainment is what it's all about. We've enjoyed it for years. Movies are great. There's nothing like a good movie, or even a bad one for that matter.
One podcast, two assholes, and infinite possibilities. Strap in, for you're about to experience the brilliant awesomeness that is A Couple of Average Joes Movie Review Show. You're welcome.
Go.
I care. It's my life. I care.
Welcome back, my friends, to the podcast that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. I am Joe Spiegel, and sitting across from me is
Mike Sutherland.
Hey, there you are, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing better than last week, I'll say that.
Okay.
So welcome to our weekly dose of microphone therapy. This week, it is our arrival episode. We are going to talk about that wonderful film and anything else that pops into our heads. How about that? How about that?
How about that?
All that and more in A Couple of Hours, Joe's. Take it away.
Johnny.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Meanwhile,
How you doing?
All right, let's do it.
All right, so this has been a long week, quote unquote, for us because we didn't we took a little bit of a hiatus.
Noticeable? A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So normally we don't, but you know, sometimes life gets in the way and sometimes you got to be a little selfish.
Yeah.
So, all right. But we're still here. I'm still here. So I'm ready to talk about movies.
Good.
All right. So
about fucking time.
Earlier this year, I think what about in August or so, we saw a movie called Hell or High Water. And that was at the time, that was the best movie overall that I had seen this year, that we had seen. And I wasn't sure if there was going to be anything else that would come out that would be as good as that movie. Well, with Arrival, it's like right up there with it, just in a different way. Hell or High Water is like an overall just complete viewing experience of a movie. It's done in every regard very well.
Right.
It's like almost like a modern masterpiece. Arrival is different. Arrival to me is something that hits you on an emotional level. And when a movie can break through my, I don't know, my manly
cynical,
my machismo wall or whatever the hell you want to call it, and make me feel something enough that I'm feeling what the character's feeling,
right,
then you've got me, right? And not many movies do that to me. You know, I get entertained all the time. Deadpool's one of my favorite movies from this year.
I just watched it again last night.
See, yeah, it's fucking awesome, right? And Deadpool's a good example because Deadpool is one of those movies where there's not a whole lot of original things that happen in that movie storyline-wise, but it's the way that it's done.
Yeah, it's boy meet girl, boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy turns into fucking
freak show.
Freak show superhero.
Yeah.
Boy wins girl.
Goes on homicidal rampage.
Yeah, boy goes on homicidal rampage.
Breaks the fourth wall. Boom.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is like, that's kind of like how Arrival is if you think about it. If you really think about it, all of the story ideas with it when it deals with the actual alien storyline is it's ideas from other sci-fi films. Close Encounters. The biggest one to me is Contact.
Right.
From 1997.
Which I had been talking about since we saw the trailer for this movie is I didn't want to see this movie because I just figured it's going to be another Contact, Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
You know, oh, she's talking to herself.
Yeah, I was very, very hesitant about seeing it until I saw who was directing it.
Right.
When I saw that Denis Villeneuve, the French-Canadian director, was doing this, I was on board because this guy so far, I mean, you know, with just two films, with Prisoners and Sicario, he's already made me a fan.
Right. And I never saw Prisoners, but
yeah,
I didn't want to see Prisoners. That's not a movie that I wanted to
see.
It
wasn't marketed right. I'm not gonna review the movie, but it was just the trailers told you one thing, but when you saw it, actually just see the movie.
Right. And like, I'm sure it's a good movie.
Great.
Again, they actually did their job with the trailers by not giving anything away.
Yeah.
This movie is a little bit more difficult when it comes down to quote unquote giving anything away.
Yeah.
But the whole storyline, like what you saw in the trailers, is nothing compared to the actual story of this movie.
Yeah.
Which is actually, they did a fucking phenomenal job, although they gave the aliens away. But, they're not really the main part of the story.
No, they're always there.
Yeah.
But it's just, that's just like the backdrop.
Right, exactly.
You know, there's...
It's like having a picture in the background that's always there.
Yeah. You know, like, let's say if a movie's filmed in New York, the whole skyline's always in the background. Right. It's like that. So this movie is more about, like, the human experience. It's...
The human condition, I would say.
Human condition, human experience. It's personal. You know, this is the funny part about this movie for me was we heard the intro three fucking times because the movie kept fucking up in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
So the first 5 minutes of the movie, we saw three times. And was it three times or four? Shit, I can't remember.
Three times.
Okay, three total times. And yeah, we kept seeing that new, what the fuck is his name? The French director.
Luc Besson.
Holy shit, Luc Besson. We saw his new movie trailer.
The Valerian trailer.
We saw. We kept seeing the last half of that trailer three times too.
And then the light went off. And then
Yeah.
And then we hear Amy Adams' voice.
Yeah. And I'm, and you hear like what she's going through with her daughter and stuff and her baby and I mean I already could tell just from that first moment that this is going to be a sad movie and it's going to have some meaning to it.
Right.
I could just tell. And like I said, I was already on board because of Denny, Villeneuve. So I'm like, okay, you're already getting me. All right, you're taking, the Kevin Smith thing. You're taking my money.
Right.
So everything about this felt right. The introduction of the actual alien showing up where it shows Amy Adams going to work, because she's a linguist professor at a college. Everything, just the way people were reacting, playing with their phones, and then all of a sudden they're all staring at what's on the TV. And
well, what's funny, hold on, the beginning of the movie, because it actually goes back at some point during the middle of the movie,
yeah,
where it shows her arriving at the college, but she had walked through the entire place without even paying attention to it,
yeah,
and then ends up in her
classroom
where she's like, where is everybody? And she didn't even pay attention. It's like she didn't turn on the TV in the morning. She wasn't paying attention to anything that was going on. There's news going on everywhere.
Yeah.
And she arrives in her classroom, and as she's trying to teach the course.
Yeah.
Is when everybody's phones start going off.
Yeah, and what I liked was it didn't immediately do like the Independence Day thing where it's showing the TV screen and it's showing, oh yeah, here's the ship here and here's the ship there, and instead it shows from the perspective of the TV where you see everyone in the classroom with reacting. Amy Adams in the front, and you see the way that they're reacting to it, and this movie really liked to delve into human emotion and how we react to things and how it affects us, because I really paid attention to how like the stress level that was going through these characters, through Amy Adams, through Jeremy Renner's character, even Forrest Whitaker's character, because you could tell that this guy was very knowledgeable in his role, as a was he a colonel? Yeah, he was.
Yes.
Forrest Whitaker played Colonel Weber, and you could tell that this guy was very good at what he does, but even though he was used to seeing the alien thing because they had been dealing with it for a little while, this was something completely out of his element, and it just made him more, I think, subdued because of it as well. What I liked was, I don't feel like doing the whole, scene by scene thing. So what I'm going to say is, when I talk about the effect that it has on humans, this first contact thing, what I like is the movie doesn't have to show you everything. It doesn't have to tell you everything. It doesn't have to explain everything to you in simple words. When the first time that Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner's characters get introduced to the aliens, to Abbott and Costello, that's their names, they don't show the whole entire interaction, right? You don't see how the interaction ends. It just cuts like halfway into it or whatever. It just cuts into it, just them taking their suits off, right? And then you just see them shaking, right? They're just they just had an experience that you can't even put into words, probably.
Right.
And that's what I liked about this movie. It's not, and I'm not trying to knock the original Independence Day or anything like that, but it's complete. It's
Yes, you are. Who cares?
It's not. Well, because I still enjoy that as an entertainment popcorn flick, the original, not this fucking new one that came out this year. But it's not like Will Smith going, "Oh, you alien, fuck you," you know, kind of shit. Instead, it's different. It's way different. It's on a deeper level. How about that? Does that make sense?
Yeah. They didn't. The way that they treat the aliens is they didn't treat them as if they're hostile. In a sense, I mean,
yeah.
The military gets involved,
of course.
And they hire, well, they sort of hire. They test her.
Yeah.
They test Amy Adams' character out before they actually bring her on board.
Yeah.
You know, because she, even though
she was their first choice.
Thank you. they couldn't get that sentence right. But they ended up going with their first choice.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jeremy Renner, who plays the physicist.
Yeah.
And they don't really waste any time getting from point A to point B, which is into the alien ship.
Yeah.
You know, they arrive. They're like, okay, get ready. We're going to go see them in X amount of time.
Yeah. Because they get 18, every 18 hours, they get a few hours up in there with them.
Right.
And that's it.
And they treat the medium intelligently.
Yeah.
That's what's so good about this movie. It's Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And a few other of these intellectual sci-fi,
yeah, it had
non-Star Trek movies.
Elements of The Day the Earth Stood Still, the uh-huh. original, you know, with all the world leader kind of thing, and
right?
Stuff like that, yeah.
And 2001,
yeah,
where you know the what do they call it, the obelisk,
the monolith, yeah.
You know, and yeah, they kind of shaped the alien ships mm-hmm. after that, but when like the ship wrote when you saw it from the side,
yeah.
I'm like, man, that would be the perfect skipping rock. You know,
yeah.
That's what they look like, is these perfect ovoid skipping rocks.
Yeah.
You know, flat on the bottom and kind of
made
rounded
for your
on
finger
top.
To fit underneath it so you can get the right grip yeah. on it. And
exactly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, or, you know, kind of like a weird Star Wars spaceship.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't want to bring Star Wars into it, but, you know, that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
Or Star Trek, if you want to go there. I enjoyed the fact that the ship's physics were different.
You could tell, it seemed to me that they were just there to, it seemed like the ships themselves were in that shape and in that size to get noticed.
Right.
And it was only there so that humans would come in and then talk to the whatever two hosts are in there.
Right. And they landed at different points
yeah.
on the globe. And then what was it? Jeremy Renner said that the different points represented, you know, different parts of either entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, some, you know, that's
where there
these,
was a big pop hit.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Somebody had a big pop hit in these particular places.
Yeah, they couldn't really tell. It was just all, it was so, there was more coincidence than anything.
But what I liked about it was it's not just that. If you actually do some research on conspiracy theories where aliens have shown up,
yeah,
the alien ships, that's where all the alien ships have shown up.
Okay.
So, and one of them in particular was off the coast of In Indonesia,
okay,
Saudi Arabia. There's one that there's a rumor that there's a underground alien ship in not underground, but it's in the water, and that's where it had crash landed.
Yeah.
And these aliens are living there, manipulating the world or whatever they're doing. But if you look up, like I said, alien conspiracy theories and alien where the alien ships are in
yeah.
the world, it'll probably pretty much match up with the map that you saw on in the movie Arrival.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. So they had Siberia, of course, because there was a couple of meteors that have hit there in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And you have Australia and off the coast and Hong Kong and all around the world. There's 12 of them. 12.
Yeah, I mean, there was even one that was in Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, why the fuck would he be there?
Yeah.
You know? But it seemed like it was spread out like that on purpose to maybe, you know, have all these different nations talk to each other.
Yeah.
And work together.
Right.
So, which it leads into. What I liked was this movie, the story, you know, the intelligence that's put into this to the actual, you know, like mythology of the film
mm-hmm.
is it's very Carl Sagan-ish.
Oh yeah.
Asimov-ish, maybe even Hubbard-ish. No.
was it Todd Chang? Is that his name? Todd Chang?
His name is Ted Chiang.
Chiang.
Created the novella or the short story called The Story of Your Life back in I think it was published in 1998. And Hollywood had been trying for a while to adapt this into a film. And I have no negatives about this movie that I can really think of, except one, the title of the film. This movie could have gone under, by the subject matter being so intimate about the human condition, you think they could have come up with a better title than that, than just Arrival. I know Arrival is simple and it makes people think of an alien, you know, movie, right? But Arrival seems kind of weak. It just feels like a throwaway title for a film. Because I think we both agree that when the movie first was announced and we saw trailers for it, we're like, oh, it looks well done, but it still doesn't look like anything special, right? And that's what the title tells me, Arrival. Ooh, wow, they really put some fucking thought into that title, right? But from what I understand, Villeneuve actually went through hundreds of different titles before, I don't know, members of the cast or something just said, hey, just call it Arrival. He's like, you know what? All right, fine. He's like, fuck it. I guess he decided to concentrate on more shit other than that.
Yeah. But, I mean, and we're missing one of the biggest parts of the story, which is the way that the story is told is past, present.
Yeah.
So it deals with Banks, which is Amy Adams' character.
Yeah.
She's lost her daughter to cancer or some disease.
Yeah, it was an incurable form of, for me, it looked like, possibly some kind of leukemia or something like that. Yeah?
Yeah, it doesn't say. It just says an incurable disease.
Yeah, and you know what?
I was actually looking up the book.
Yeah, it doesn't even really matter. Like that's what I like about this movie.
It's not important.
Yeah, it gets the point across without having to over-explain it.
Right, yeah. She doesn't survive.
Yeah.
And
she lives to her late teens or early,
yeah, something like that,
early 20s. Yeah.
And you know, the father,
they never show the father.
Yeah. The father's not involved. It is always, you know, dad doesn't look at me the same way.
Yeah.
After Amy Adams tells dad that she's got a disease.
Yeah.
And she's going to die.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to, it's going to come at some point. Just be prepared for it.
Yeah.
And you can't ever be prepared for that shit.
Yeah.
So she has to go at it alone, basically raising this child.
Yeah. And I mean, there's more to it than just that, because, you know, the one of the big spoilers of the movie is, you know, she had foreknowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's going on is we find out that Jeremy Renner's the dad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right at the end of the movie. But I was already feeling that way before that.
Yeah. And, you know,
there was this intimacy between them when they talked. You know, you could tell that something was going to happen between them.
Right. But they don't go overly mushy with it.
No.
They keep the story. You don't see, you know, Renner and Adams go at it in some fucking back room because they have an immediate connection.
Yeah, because, like, when you go through an extreme experience, you both get riled up.
Right.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. They didn't go cheap Hollywood on us.
Yeah.
You know, they kept it relatively real. I mean, this happens over, it seems to happen over, I don't know, not, it doesn't,
weeks?
Yeah.
Maybe even months?
Days to weeks.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's that long. Maybe a month or two.
Well, because, I mean, if they could only go in once a day, roughly, on average, once a day, because every 18 hours. So that's all that stuff that they got, you know, all the communication that she did back and forth with them, with the aliens, and you know, getting all of their language. You know,
yeah,
and being able to test it and, you know, compare it to other things and trying to decipher it. And
right.
So I would assume it had to at least go over weeks, if not more.
Yeah.
You know, I like how the movie's not afraid to show what other countries were doing. You know, they didn't overdo it, but you could tell how some other countries are worried about it, but they're not. It didn't make it look like all the other countries were stupid. Like, oh, well, we're just immediately going to bomb it. Instead, there was just suspicion, right? And then they're like, well.
Well, the biggest one was the Chinese.
Yeah.
You know. And then we get the Russians have already killed their guys,
yeah,
to keep this big secret.
Yeah, they're scientists. Know,
because the aliens have said that they wanted a weapon.
Yeah.
But Adam's character is like, well, a weapon could be a tool.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly what they want. It could be misconstrued. Let's not fucking jump the gun here, yeah, so to speak.
Exactly. There was this level of tension throughout the entire film. And I think what laid the groundwork for it was the beginning of the movie. Once again, I'll go back to Johan Johansson's score. It felt very personal and very intimate and very deep. And because I knew that this movie was going to be deep, that every scene where they're going towards the ship and they're going in the ship and then they're out of the ship and you know, banter in between before they go back in again and talk some more, I felt this tension. Like, I really felt like this was an end of the world type movie.
My big question is when, okay, so at one point during the movie, the soldiers, now that's a big tense part of the movie, like, yeah, first, It goes actually almost halfway.
You know what that reminded me of? The soldiers thing? It reminded me of Jake Busey's character from Contact.
Okay.
Remember? Because he...
I never saw Contact.
Oh, fuck. Anyway.
I'm not a Jodie Foster
he
person.
He played a religious zealot who was a head of a church, and he was all, are these the people you want talking to your God for you?
Right.
That kind of guy. And there's a scene in the near like over halfway through when Jodie Foster or Tom Skerritt's character is about to go into the machine that's supposed to take him across the galaxy, right?
Right.
And what happens is you see that Jake Busey's character is in disguise, pretending to be one of the scientists up on the ship. And then all of a sudden, a bomb goes off.
Okay.
And then, but it was, that's what it reminded me of straight up. It was the Contact.
Yeah. And soldiers. Yeah. I think this movie is going to have a lot of correlation with Contact because it's
the alien language, too.
Yep. It seems that it's just another, it's taking that idea to the next step. What bugged me about it was, okay, so the soldiers start to believe the media, the news reports.
Yeah.
This brainwashing, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And they start to believe that these things are here to destroy them.
Yeah.
In a sense, I guess. But they set up a bomb to go off.
Yeah.
And they try to stop Renner and Amy Adams' character.
Yeah.
But then they're like, okay, whatever. We're not going to force you guys. Just go do your thing. You know.
It's already in motion. Kind of.
And the aliens save them.
Yeah.
What happens to the guys that were down there, the rebels?
To the soldiers, yeah.
Yeah, what happened to those guys?
Because
that doesn't really seem to be explained.
I think that it wasn't important enough I think the gist of it was because you could hear the gunfight.
You could hear the gunfight, but...
So I'm pretty sure that they all got killed.
Right.
And then the story moves on.
Right, but you don't see it. You just hear it.
Yeah. So I would just assume because they're going to be outnumbered.
Yeah.
They're outnumbered because they got there's a whole fucking, camp.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then right after that happens and then they exit the ship.
Yeah.
You know.
And that was a cool scene.
And you don't see the aftermath. You don't see the dead bodies or anything else like that. But you do see Forrest Whitaker and his... And the army show up.
Yeah.
You know, and they ask, are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, oh, well, we didn't really have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, and that right there tells me that this movie is much more intelligent than all the other alien invasion movies out there.
Yeah.
Because these two scientists, any other Hollywood alien invasion movie would be like, oh, well, you know, we were attacked and the army is definitely behind this and it's a black ops thing and, you know, and we've got to escape. We've got to get out of here. We've got to save the aliens, you know. We've got to take over their ship and fly it away.
Yeah.
And that generally leads into bullshit. It leads into Independence Day style bullshit.
Yeah.
The army comes up and says, hey, you know, Whitaker and company, hey, what the fuck? Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
We have no idea what happened. You know, these guys got sucked into some fucking, you know, zealoty thing.
Yeah.
And we didn't see it coming till the end. It wasn't an over explanation of what happened. It was just a concise explanation of, we don't know.
Yeah.
But we have taken steps to ensure that this is not going to happen again.
Yeah.
And Renner and Adams are okay with that. Everybody's okay with that. Even the CIA guy that's there.
Yeah.
This guy that is built up to be some conniving piece of shit.
Agent Halpern.
He's not a conniving piece of shit.
Yeah.
But the way that it's written is that he's got stuff to hide.
Yeah.
And he's not hiding anything.
You know what's funny is if you notice with certain movies, there'll be an actor that you don't see very often, and then all of a sudden you'll see him a bunch of times in one year.
Right.
That actor, Michael Stahlberg, he was in Doctor Strange the week before.
Huh.
He was the asshole doctor that Doctor Strange liked to fuck with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, same actor.
Nice.
We never see that guy.
Right.
But there he is. Boom.
Yeah, it just happens that, you know, when your time is due, your time is due.
Yeah.
Type of thing, you know. Which should be happening to us.
But yeah, that guy...
God damn it, happened to us.
But that guy, you know, yeah, he comes off like an asshole, but he's the pragmatic side, right?
Yeah.
You know, they said weapon. I mean, they say fucking weapon, what do you think? You know, I get it.
Yeah. And everyone there, because they're military or a form of military or intelligence,
yeah,
they don't overreact. They just react.
Yeah, they have a defensive attitude.
Yeah, and she's the... As you said, she's the pragmatic, let's fucking think this through before we do anything.
Yeah, that's why she's the linguist.
Right. So they allow her this opportunity. They tell her, you know, It's yours. This is your deal.
Yeah.
You know, so she's running the show. Her and Jeremy Renner are running the fucking show.
Mm-hmm.
And
Whitaker's under pressure constantly because he has generals and the president
right.
constantly asking him about this, asking him about that. What,
right.
You know.
And they do have a limited time
yeah.
before the shit goes down.
Yeah, and then they got to worry about China.
Yeah.
Because China's also influencing other countries that have these shells.
Yeah, and then everybody starts to disconnect from the feed, the worldwide feed.
Yeah.
So they're not sharing information anymore, and this comes down to the end. But again, it's past present.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's happening has already happened.
Yeah.
And we see kind of near the end of the movie where Amy Adams' character
yeah.
does something, you know, well, she ends up calling the general, the Chinese general.
Yeah.
And
it was like she didn't realize that she was seeing the future.
I don't think she's seeing the future. I think she's living both at the same time.
Well, I know, but I mean, she didn't come into full acknowledgement, like awareness, until she understood the language. Once she understood the language, that was when she knew. That's
right.
When she was became part of that time loop.
Right. But I don't think she's living future path. I think she's living both timelines or the time, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Let's just call it the timeline.
Uh-huh.
She's living it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So the birth and death of her daughter.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Renner's character, who is ends up being her husband, leaving, and then her calling the general to soothe things out to make sure and. The phrase that she says to the general because you know it was his dying wife's last words.
Yeah.
All of those things are happening at once.
Yeah.
But the way that they block it off in the movie is alien the past and the present kind of intertwined in that timeline.
Yeah.
And then it kind of leaves it up in the air at the end. Where it does Renner stay or does yeah. he actually end up leaving? Because she's older, like when she's a little girl, she's 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
You know, is when she tells her mother that, you know, hey, dad doesn't look at me the same way anymore.
Yeah.
But at the end of the movie, she's older now and they're sitting down to eat.
Yeah.
And one of the key phrases was her saying, do I tell him
yeah.
and commit myself to reliving this
uh-huh.
or do I just let it go?
Yeah, you know? And then one of the questions at the end of the movie was, if you were able to see the future,
if you could live your life all over again,
yeah, would you change things?
Right, and it looks like she did.
Yeah, so. By the time it got to the end of that movie, the alien shit didn't matter anymore. It was like, I don't want to say tertiary because it was very important,
right?
But it was that wasn't what the meat of this movie was about. It was about Amy Adams and this connection, this memories, everything. It made me feel something.
Right.
And I was in the movie at that moment. I was going through what she was going through to a point.
Right.
You know? And that is damn good story or filmmaking when you can do that.
Yeah, he really pulled everybody in. I mean, as I've been surprised going to the movies these past couple of weeks
uh-huh.
because I've been expecting people to be fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And everybody, when the fucking movie starts, it seems everybody's just shutting up,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I'm just not noticing it.
I think because a lot of people are still in shock about Trump.
Yeah, no. This has been going on for at least 3 months.
So. I know, fucking around.
But who knows?
Yeah, so I...
Let me tell you something.
God damn it. So, I'm not going to get into politics. I'm not.
No, we're not talking politics.
I love, but
it does play into this movie.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing that they left out, which is great, is we don't see the world leaders.
Uh-huh.
We just see the linguists, if you want to call them that, from the different countries that are connecting together.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the aliens say, hey, you know, you guys need to all fucking start communicating because we need help and we're going to die in 3,000 years in the future. We already know that's going to happen, but we need your help.
Yeah.
And by you helping us, we'll help you. Help us to help you. Help us to help you. Okay, yeah. Dr. Cox. So.
Help me help you.
Yeah. So. Perry Cox, Scrubs.
Okay.
Help me to help you. Help me to help you.
Yeah. So, I love this movie. I don't know if it's going to have the same effect seeing it a second time. I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what, either way, that musical score makes this movie better than it might actually be.
Right.
But it's so goddamn, what's the word? Magnetic. It pulls you in.
Right.
It makes you get into this movie, but it's a complete package kind of thing. So, I love this movie. I believe I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, it was very good. It's one of my top picks of the year.
Absolutely.
So when it first came out, or like a week before it came out, it was at 100%. On Rotten Tomatoes. And then right when the movie came out, it dropped to like 93%. And it stayed there. It's still, even a week after it's come out, it's still at 93%.
Yeah.
So
we put it at what? What was yours?
I think I was at 70, yeah.
And I'm at 68.
Yeah.
But that was based off of the trailer.
The trailers, yeah.
So.
Exactly. And so I just figured that, you know, it might be good, but, you know, I mean,
generally, we're fucking pretty on with the Rotten Tomatoes prediction. And we don't, you know, we don't do any look up of what the movie is going to be. We don't look up Rotten Tomatoes. We don't, you know, to get our scores. We just, you know, we're just pulling it out of our ass.
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah. So I highly recommend seeing this movie.
Yes.
It deserves to make money. It deserves to be seen. It's way better. This is the opposite of Independence Day Resurgence.
Yes.
Complete opposite.
Yeah. This is the Sicario of 2016.
Yeah.
It needs to be watched.
Yeah. And I think that, look, I think I believe I gave Independence Day Resurgence a 0.5 out of 10.
Uh-huh.
And
that was a zero for me.
This movie makes it a negative 0.5 now.
Right.
That's how fucking much better of a film this is than that.
Right.
That's all I got to say about Arrival, man. Go see it.
Absolutely.
That's it. All right. So that's all we got for this week. The next film that we will be talking about on A Couple of Average Joes will be Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk about that and let you know how we feel about it.
Okay.
All right, so for A Couple of Average Joes, I am Joe Spiegel.
Mike Sutherland.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good show. Jolly good show. Jolly good show indeed.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
Please share the podcast. The more people that listen, the better off we are. Thanks again.
For more great podcasts and my movie reviews, don't forget to visit www.acoupleofaveragejoes.com.
This is the end. It's the end. Finito! The end, I tell you! We're all going to nibble the dust!
Or go fuck yourself.